Oh, groovy, baby.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, but never mind that. Let's talk about this. This is the Indie Circuit, Radio St. Pete exclusive. My name is Matt, with me as always.
Promi.
And this is the show dedicated to bringing you all kinds of crazy music and some talk of dumbness. Mostly talk of dumbness. And good music, though. So stick around for that, even if we're talking about things you don't care about. So what do you got going on, man?
Let's see. Nothing terribly exciting, unfortunately. No. Well, makes for great radio, huh?
I guess that's good, though. I got the machine finally got in.
That's awesome.
New pinball machine showed up. I had to drive to Fruitland Park. Now, if you don't know where that is, it's like driving to Orlando, but like going up and over rather than straight over from us. If you live in Tampa, Clearwater, going to Disney is basically a straight shot. You know, it's straight across. It's almost like dead center of the state.
Yeah.
And if you drive straight through, then you hit Cocoa Beach. You know, it's kind of neat. But Fruitland Park is up and over, and it was pretty obscure place, but it's called Little Shop of Games. The owner, Curly, real nice guy. It was great talking to him. Gave me a Stern hat, a really nice Stern hat,
that was your bonus,
no kidding. Sally the Beer Wench got a Stern t-shirt, you know, so it was all good. Everyone won. I was worried though, because the way the storms have been popping up in Florida, right now, I've never seen storms as bad as they've been the last 2 months. Well, last month, 3 weeks to a month, as far as like it shakes the earth. Like the thunder is crazy, you know, and I know we've always had storms, but this, maybe my brain healed and this is just normal, but it feels like it's just a little bit more. I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, I live in a condo and I'm on the first floor and I work in an office building, so maybe I don't see it quite as directly as you do, but I also haven't been hit by light. My home hasn't been hit by lightning recently.
It shakes the earth, so I was worried about the storm. So I got up there early, and I was
Miles has, by the way, been hit by lightning. In case you guys didn't pick up on
crazy.
That,
crazy. I was like, well, I was going to rent a van, but then the van, it would have cost me like $160 because there's no vans now. Anytime you go to, if you go to a U-Haul or Enterprise or whatever, you know, everything's by mileage.
Really?
Yeah, because I was it was like $19.99 for this van plus 69 cents a mile. And I was like, well, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
69 cents a mile. Wow.
That's what I said. And then I called and I was like, do you have just a daily rate? Nope. Nothing without mileage. And I was like, what are you talking? So I just rolled the dice.
That's more than the price of gas.
Yeah. I know. So I was like, well, I have a truck. And I was like, well, just roll the dice and got up there early because I know storms usually form later in the day. Got back within, of course, you know, you wrap it with a tarp and we had the straps on and all that kind of stuff. And within 20 seconds of hitting 75, of course, the tarp is being Superman and it's shredding itself, you know. So we pulled off the first rest station and I have this industrial saran wrap. So I just wrapped and wrapped and wrapped and wrapped. Like we put a million layers on it and that held till we got home, you know.
That's cool.
So safe and sound. Got in, you know, the optical board wasn't working right when I turned it on here, but it was just a loose wire. I unplugged it and plugged it back in, then it was working fine, and you know, did a little cleanup on it, and new machine is home.
Yes, and it is awesome.
I know, it's an old style one, but it's new, and that's my favorite.
Yeah,
I like things that are old styled but won't break down every week.
Exactly, there you go.
You know, it was funny because I talked to him. Now he's the owner of Little Shop of Games, and then the guy that bought one of my older EM machines was
other Little Shop of Games.
Another Little Shop of Games in Lutz. And he had mentioned, I said, yeah, I saw that thing. And he said, I told that guy to stop buying EMs. He's like, you're going to be out on calls every, he said, you'll never make money because you're always going to be on a call. Every time it breaks, they're calling you, which is true. You know, he's been around a long time. He's been in business for quite a long time. So he knows what to sell and what not to sell.
No.
You know, and I talked to him a little bit about the current affairs of things because pinballs are kind of, they're hitting this niche now where just collectors buy them. Pricing is going insane, like $15,000, $18,000 for machines and stuff like that. And you're like, what? know, it's most people like me are waiting for the bubble to pop, but it might not. I don't know. You know,
yeah, this may just be the new rich man's hobby,
I guess, you know, but, yeah, whatever. It was, long story short, machines in the house, you know, I'm a little bit poor, but that's okay.
It's an awesome table though.
I know, it's a lot of fun. So, yay for that. All right, here's some music. We'll be right back with more talk.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
Dancing on the sun, swaying in the rays. Tomorrow's shining in my eyes. Dancing on the sun as it radiates. Dancing on the sun, swaying in the rays. Tomorrow's shining in my eyes. Dancing on the sun. I'm drawn to the light. done, I don't resist it. Dancing on the sun, swinging in the rays. Tomorrow's shining in my eyes. Dancing on the sun as it radiates. Shaking off the black of night. Oh, night. Oh, night. Oh, night. Oh, night. Oh, night. Oh, night. Dive into it. Dancing on the sun, swinging in the rays. Tomorrow's shining in my eyes. Dancing on the sun as it radiates. Shaking off the black of night. Oh, night. Oh, night. Oh, night.
Spend time, baby. Come and say that you'll be mine. My love for you will last forever. Together we could be alright. Can't you see that you make my life complete? I'm in love. Come on, be my baby. I'm in love. Come on, spend some time. Your body fall asleep within my arms. Can't you see that you make my life complete? I'm in love. Come on, be my baby. I'm in love. Come on, spend some time. Come on, baby. Come on, over. Come on, baby. Come on, over. You'll be my sugar and I'll be your spice. I waited all my life so patiently to find someone who will love me, baby. Come on over. Come on, baby, baby, baby. Come on over. I'm in love. Come on, be my baby. I'm in love. Come on, spend some time. Come on, baby.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
All right. That was the Bongo Boy Beach, various artists compilation album. I played Mark Baxter, Great Escape, SQL featuring Bruno Alexander playing Dancing on the Sun, and the Pete V Project featuring Reese Bahi. I don't know. Singing Come On Baby. So yay for those words. And I said them. So good for that.
Oh.
Now we're being filmed before a live feline audience. I mean, so yay. Destructor decided to stroll in and plop down like he does every show. So yeah, you had a topic for this week though. Pretty interesting topic.
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about movie studios and how they get you to buy their stuff now.
Yeah.
In the age of streaming everything and rental and, you know, on demand, you know, it's interesting. What made me think of this was the Deadpool release.
Yeah. And well, and then those things you sent me.
Yeah.
I was like, "Wait, what?" Okay. Elaborate on that whole thing. It's really weird.
So I'm not sure what the things I sent you were. Maybe that was to the wrong person.
No, Alien.
Oh, okay.
It was all rebranded.
I was about to say, those photos were meant for, you know. Anyway.
No, yeah.
No. So I was at Walmart the other day. Not a proud Walmart shopper, but I do go there occasionally. And they had a huge Deadpool display. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize it was out. And looking at it, all of the covers were of, like, I don't want to call them classic movies exactly, but from, like, the 80s on.
Yeah.
Except, like, where the main character was substituted out for Deadpool in them. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And then I looked, and I noticed the price on them was only $6.99, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and it was actually the original movie. It had just been repackaged.
It was Alien.
Yeah.
With Deadpool on the Alien.
Deadpool's head as the pod. Or like City Slickers with Deadpool at the baseball cap riding a horse. Wears Prada with the shoe and Deadpool pole dancing on the spike of the high heel.
It's crazy.
And, you know, in the back of it's like, there's a big thing that says, I'm not in this movie, but I wish I were. And so all they were doing was using Deadpool to promote other Fox films, basically.
At first I saw it and I was like, what am I looking at here? And I was like, oh, wait, those are real? And then I was like, oh, that's genius. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Because, like, completists, they are cashing in because there's completists who will have to have every one of those.
Yeah.
So they're reselling crap that they couldn't basically give away.
Right.
Because
they're old movies that were...
They put a sleeve on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that is brilliant.
And I'll tell you, I went back a couple of weeks later, and that display looked like it had been beat to hell. There was nothing left in it. So they went. Yeah. They sold
eBay flippers.
I mean, that's essentially the Walmart bin of luck. You know, dig through and see if there's something you can get that's usually like $4, and they were selling them for $5.99 or $6.99, and they sold them all.
They want you to look like a starving raccoon digging through trash.
I'm just wondering.
I hate those.
I'm just wondering how many of those are going to get returned when people get home and realize they didn't actually buy. They didn't really get an awesome deal on Deadpool 2.
They really got home. They're like, oh wait, this is City Slickers. Damn it! Damn you, Walmart.
Sorry, you opened the package. We can't accept the return now.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, you know, there was the super duper edition or something, which I guess they all are, has like an extra 18 minutes of footage. And I haven't actually gotten to watch it yet. Mine arrived at a time when I had a young, sensitive mind in the household. Yeah. But
I watched it. I got the one that you got with the super duper edition with the child's book, which is hilarious. The child,
not suitable for children's book. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and then they did that thing where every store has their own shtick. Best Buy had the steel box, and Target had the book, and then other ones had just whatever. And because they learned that, I think they learned that from video game releases.
Maybe.
Because sometimes a video game release, if you got it from here, you got a strategy book. If you got it from here, you got special costumes in the game.
Right.
Like, it was very strange to me. I'm older, so that when I first heard of that stuff, I'm like, what? Like, I own these guys around only have this gold suit if they bought it from this thing, you know? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, well, okay, yeah. Whatever drives commerce. I mean, they're always trying to figure out
the crappy thing about that, especially if it's in-game stuff, is what that does is that encourages people to end up buying multiple copies of the game so that they can have everything in the game.
Yeah. Well, thankfully for me, those years are long gone. Or I play stuff, and sometimes I'm going for it. Like I started replaying that old Plants vs. Zombies, and I'm like doing everything and making sure I buy everything. But I don't care. I mean, this is on my DS. This is an old game. I just play it because it's fun.
Yeah, you know,
it's not a. I'm not showing off to anybody. Like, hey, check it out! I'm playing this game from the mid 2000s. Isn't that awesome? You know, you're like, no one cares. But when you talked about the DVD stuff, I always equate it to, and I think this is a very interesting. Criterion still commands a premium. Like if I go and look at Criterion's releases every month, and I have a bunch of Criterion movies, and if I can get them, I do. And you're still paying $30 for a movie, and that's insane now. Like, but it's the best copy. It's the best of everything.
Yeah.
Like, so when you buy a Criterion Blu-ray or when you buy whatever, that's the best possible copy of that movie. So I have Easy Rider. I have Lady Snowblood. I have some of the stuff that I love, the movies, like, of course, Seven Samurai, Godzilla, the original one. You know, like, these are movies that I love, so I watch them and watch them and watch them, you know. I just got Sword of Doom and Night of the Living Dead.
Oh.
The first one.
The original one.
Black and White. I mean, so... but part of me, every time I'm buying that, is like, I'm just buying a DVD, man. This, you know, that's usually like a special, like I'll get it for Christmases or birthdays or something like that. I'll ask for it because I can't pony up paying that much money, you know, but it's hard to sell that stuff now.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, okay, so there was like 18 minutes of extra footage on the Blu-ray one. And I read a review, and this was before the Blu-ray was actually released, when you could only get it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who had watched it, and they were basically like, you know, the funny thing is when you watch it, it's not really apparent where those extra 18 minutes are, because a lot of it is just extended cuts from certain scenes. Like, the jokes go on a little longer, some of the commentary is a little bit raunchy. You know, they're like, it's a little bit, you have to actually kind of see it side by side to recognize where it was added, because it's not like, okay, this sequence was put in there. It's just like he's on a roll rambling and talking, and where it cuts in the theatrical release, it goes on a little longer,
like
a
half a minute longer,
and like, they're and it's dispersed throughout the whole movie that way.
I couldn't tell where it was.
Yeah,
you know.
So, and it got me thinking, you know, things like that, things like alternate endings, you know, back in the day when DVDs originally came out, the big selling point was like commentary, which I think people kind of got tired of, because it's like you watch the movie and you really got to be into whatever the movie is to want to watch it again and listen to them talk over the whole thing.
True fact.
Yeah.
I've never watched a commentary track in my life.
When I first got DVDs, I watched them a lot.
And that was a selling point, and I still never did it. Like, I was like, nah, I'm just going to watch the movie again. You know.
Well, it's gone out of favor, too. I don't think they even really do it most of the time anymore.
Soon they're going to just start including riff tracks. Like, riff track will be on, you know, you can buy Space Mutiny with or without MST commenting.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And like, why? Who cares? Doesn't matter at this point. It's been degraded that far. DVDs were really hot. Remember that explosion where everyone was just DVD crazy?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, higher quality, the commentaries, the idea that watching it repeatedly wasn't going to degrade it.
Yeah. And
being able to jump to scenes.
That's all true.
Like CDs, you know? Yeah. It's basically like the jump from cassette to CD. CD was a big deal.
That was a big deal. And people forget that. And, you know, I know everyone, albums became cool again. But there was no... Actually, albums do sound better than CDs because there's no compression.
Right.
And the art's nicer.
We're talking about vinyl, though, as opposed to cassette.
And cassettes were garbage. A-tracks were garbage. The reality was you can't have 1,600 pounds of freaking records your whole life.
Right.
But you can have, you know, 2,500 CDs. Now you can have one thumb drive with 30,000 songs on it, and you'll never need anything again in your life. Like,
yeah.
And... take that for what you will. You know, how I listen to music has changed. You know, I like albums, but the reality of it is, my car or truck, I have a thumb drive, it's set on random, and there's 30,000.
So you're getting random songs left and right.
I don't care, because I put them in there and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you like them all.
If I don't like it, click.
Yep.
I just hit the button and the next one comes, and that's better.
Yeah.
And so the world continues to change, and either you embrace that kind of stuff, or you say, whatever. I mean, the things you hear people say, like, oh, that's not how you should listen to that. That's not how you should watch movies. Well,
No, that's just how you used to not do it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? All right, here's music. We'll be right back. There's more on this discussion because this could go on for about 40 minutes probably. No, we'll be right back.
There is a very fine line between love and nausea.
and love.
It's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Who knows indeed. That was Monstroville from Haunted Beach Party. I played Jack the Ripper, Dracula Hates Photo Shoots, don't we all, and Zombie Love. So there you go. Make sure you check these bands out. On our Facebook page, don't do that because I don't update it anymore. But make sure you check them out on their Facebook pages. They might still update them on their Facebook pages.
Or they may have their own websites.
That's even better.
Yes, it
is. So yeah. I'm trying to think of what else we're, you know, so the Criterion stuff, and I kind of get it. One of the things that I've started, because I got swept up into DVD fever like we all did. I was just buying like crazy. And now I have a gigantic closet filled with DVDs, and a lot of them are like, eh, you look at them and you're like, I don't need this.
I'm not sure why I felt the need to buy this originally. Right.
Some stuff I do love.
Yeah.
I think more than most people, I watch movies multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't mind popping.
I'd say you're higher than average.
Yeah. I don't mind. I can watch a movie all the time. Doesn't bother me. Like Death Race 2000, I've seen it 100 times. Probably going to see it 100 more times before I die, God willing. You know, and it's just one of those things where I just watch it.
Fifth Element, I've seen, you know, and the funny thing is I wouldn't even call myself a big Fifth Element fan, but I've seen that movie more times than I can count.
there was
It's such a weird movie because it's one of those things that you, like, it doesn't matter where you are in the movie when it, like, you could just be randomly flipping channels and there it is and it's like, oh, okay.
Poseidon Adventure.
I'll just let this run.
There's one for some reason, like when I was younger, whenever Poseidon Adventure was on, we ended up just watching it. And I was like, oh, God, I didn't like the movie, but I've seen it 100,000 times. I don't hate it, but it's like, who cares, you know? Fifth Element was one. I really loved Fifth Element. I was always surprised that there wasn't more of them. But then I was probably like, man, there probably shouldn't be more of them. Like, yeah. Sometimes one story.
I learned that lesson from The Matrix. After seeing I saw the first Matrix more times in theater than I care to admit, yeah. Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I was a younger fellow back then, though.
That was the style of the time. And
it got to the point where I could tell, you know, this, because this was also before movies were really being shown digitally. And I could tell where there were splices in the clip, in the actual reels that I was, you know, like, because once it had been out for a while, of course. The longer it runs, the more damaged the reels get. And I could tell when there were a second or two missing from scenes because familiar I got with this movie. And I'm like, oh, they got to make another one. And I'm like, they could expand on this and they could expand on that. And the Wachowski brothers, back when they were still brothers.
Then they did. And you went, oh, no.
Yeah, and then they did. And it was like, oh. And then there was a third one. And I'm like, well, maybe. I'll just pretend there was a first one because it technically ended and they didn't necessarily have plans for a second one when they ended the first one. So I can pretend like the other two didn't exist. I still bought them because they were DVD and I had to, but
I've seen all three of those and I couldn't tell you anything about any of them. The first one was like, oh, that's a sci-fi movie. And everyone was crazy about it. Did you have a leather trench coat?
I did not. Dressed up at it. Although at the Widget Factory, I did do an ad for a bakery/cafe that had done a Matrix themed ad. Oh. It was awful. They had a guy in a trench coat with a bald head and the sunglasses holding mechanical mixer.
Yeah.
And a woman in you know, patent leather.
You're like, huh.
With short hair, smiling. Yeah.
I think maybe I was just too old at the time when that hit. Like I wasn't the sweet spot. You know what I mean? Like sometimes when something comes out, you're like, that's my generation speaking right there. I liked the first one. I thought it was a fine movie. Then the second one came out and I didn't even see it until it came out on, like, I rented it or something like that. And I was like, I don't even understand what the hell I'm looking at here. And then the third one, I think I was like, well, now my head just hurts. And I just left, you know, I just turned it off and mailed it back to Blockbuster or whatever. It was one of those things where you just kind of came and went, So I don't know. I don't mind.
I think it collapsed under its own weight. I think after the first one, they're like, oh, we got to top this and make this whatever. And they really didn't have material. I mean, they'd said when the first one came out and there was talk about people wanting the next one, they had said they hadn't really planned on doing sequels. So it's not like they'd already mapped out where they were going to go after the first one. And I think it just,
Yeah. There was,
which is why I'm glad movies like Fifth Element, there's only one.
And that's fine.
Because it was a silly movie, and some of the dialogue was silly and dumb, but the visuals were always striking, and the more you watch it, the more things you notice in a scene that you just didn't recognize, or you pick up on things like the garbage at the airport station. Yeah. You pick up on what's actually going on with that stuff in the background. And
yeah, Gary Oldman was hilarious in that movie. I think of him as a very funny actor.
Mm-hmm.
I have True Romance. I haven't seen it for a while. That's one I want to watch again because he played that ugly, evil guy.
The drug dealer guy,
yeah. Oh, my God. And you can't believe it's him.
I know.
I mean, he is such a good actor.
That's got one of my favorite soundtrack songs.
Yeah.
Which is the steel drums. The dun, 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 dun. It doesn't sound like it should be in that movie when you hear it. Like, if you hear this and then you go, oh, yeah, you know that movie? This is from that. You'd be like, no, it's not. I'm like, no, go watch the movie and listen for it. It's there.
I promise. Yeah. Now, remember they used steel drums in that freaking, Commando. Schwarzenegger's Commando was lousy with steel drum. And you're like, I don't think this should be. And whoever scored that soundtrack was like a cocaine dealer or something. He like wanted a reason to fly that country. Yeah, it's like, wow. All right, here's some more music. We'll be right back.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in. We'll be right back.
is asleep. I'm concrete, paper covers betray the skin, and you discover that you're still here, and it's not over. In the dark, something vaguely clear makes it still worth living here.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
No! Oh.
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
All right, that was our friends Bob Goblin from Love Lost for Bloodlust. I played White Lines, Fighting Machines, and Turn Gears Turn. That is a hard-working band. They are a good bunch of guys, always out there hustling, running, for, you know, doing shows, good stuff. Make sure you go check them out.
Yeah,
they were one of those bands that I wrote to them, and man, they were like quick, nice. They were so good to deal with. They were very like they send us stuff, and they're like, I was like, wow, thanks, man. You know, like they care. They're trying. They're out there trying to make a difference, trying to make their music and promote themselves. I'm like, good for you. You know?
Yeah.
You will probably make it.
Be one of the few that do.
Where those ones that are so nonchalant or they don't write back, you're like, oh, I get it. You don't have no interest in your band. You're just in a band.
After years and years of working hard, they magically got a lucky break. Yeah, that's not. There's no luck involved most of the time.
No such thing. That was fun. Oh, there was a funny story I wanted to tell. We're off the DVD thing. I still go in. Now is when I'm trolling the thrift stores and pawn shops for, because DVDs are literally a dollar each, or you know, Blu-rays are $2 each, and I'm getting all the good ones that I didn't get for nothing. So that's yay for me. That's my modus operandi.
So in another decade, you'll be looking at that closet going,
well, now I have the most choice cuts of crap.
Did I really need Firestone's holiday Blu-ray edition?
Yes, I did. You know, but then I paid a buck for it, so it doesn't matter if I throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
It's a funny story. On the way home, I was coming home on Friday, and I was like, I'm driving down McMullen Booth, heading towards the bridge, and there is a guy in a Maserati being a guy in a Maserati, and he had his hat on backwards, and he's like revving his engine, he's tailgating people, and he's whipping from lane to lane, you know. And I hate those people. Hey, and everyone hates those people. You know, like the same as like a vet, guy driving a vet, but like trying to bully everyone, thinking they're cool. So I see this guy and I speed up to lock him in.
Well, see, the thing is that, okay, so let's say you slam on your brakes and he rear ends you. Joke's on him because, you know.
I'll go to court saying that was his fault.
And we're talking about the value of the two vehicles here involved. Which of you is going to come out worse or for the wear?
That's when a Fiat took out a Maserati.
Yeah, exactly.
Joke's on you. I'm out $18.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but that wasn't where it went. So I knew where he's tailgating somebody in the far left. And I was like, I hate this guy. I'm going to do something to him. So I got up and locked him in
there. Wait a minute. Did you throw a banana peel?
No, I didn't. Okay. I wish. Oh, that would have been hilarious. And his car slips and falls. Yeah. No. So I lock him in a side of this this person that he was already tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
And he's revving his engine. And the guy behind me in a truck sees what I'm doing and comes up to me to double lock him. And we're getting towards where the bridge opens up into three lanes. Mm-hmm. And I see a cop four ahead.
Oh,
and he doesn't.
Tell me this worked
and
out.
Close. And I know what he's going to do as soon as we get to the three. So I keep infuriating him more and more. And he's revving his engine. He's being a real jerk. And as soon as it opens up, he throws it across. That's when I backed down so he had the room. And he throws it all the way over to the three. And then he zooms up. And he slams on his brake, and I was like laughing and pointing at him, and the cop was sitting there, you know, he didn't get him though. I was really like hopeful, because then some Porsche does the same thing and immediately like red lights it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it almost worked for me, but it was perfect. Like I knew I could see how this was going to play out, but then he didn't get popped, and I was like, dang it, you know. I think the cop was probably going back to the station or something. He didn't have time to pull him over, but those guys, you know. I get it when you have a fast car, you drive fast. But when no one's going anywhere, don't bother.
Exactly.
No one's going anywhere.
And it's like buying a car like that does not suddenly make the speed limit not. I mean, that doesn't suddenly give you your own lane on highways. Exactly. You apparently think it does, but it doesn't, you know? And there's no reason for anyone to have any more respect for you than anybody else trying to get home on a Friday.
Nope. I thought it was going to work, though, because it played 100%. Just the cop wasn't looking or didn't have his... have his gear set up right or something. I was like, oh.
Was it moving or was he parked?
No, he was moving. He was driving, and that's tough. I think they have a tough time pulling people over unless they blow by them. Yeah. You know, because they don't have anything set up. But I was like, oh, it almost worked. I don't know.
I don't know why they don't just sit on both ends. I mean, because just the motorcyclists alone.
Yeah. On when I'm going up 19 every day, mm-hmm. I never speed in the morning. I take 19 all the way up, go over to my work. I turn out like Enterprise or some, I forget what it is. There's a cop there every single day. Like, man. I know where he sits every single day. And every now and then he comes down where it comes over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I just do 55. Like, I'll speed Florida speeding, not super crazy, but like 60, 65, whatever, all the way till I get to like almost where the mall is, and I just back down because there's a cop there.
And, you know, really, that's how it should be. It should they shouldn't be ticketing people left and right. They should be there strategically visible so people just don't do it.
Yeah, and every
nobody
now and then,
gets a ticket. No, everybody it works out. You know, they you accomplish what you're supposed to.
Yeah, they always get somebody though. There's always people pulled over because there's that Maserati.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not bashing Maseratis; they're beautiful cars. But when you're a jerk, you're a jerk. Oh well, that's just the way it is down here. Driving in Florida, if you're not from here, is certainly an interesting endeavor. But that's all there is. All right, that's it for this week. My name is Matt, with me as always.
Promi.
And we'll see you next week with more Indie Circuit Shenanigans.